We are up to Perek Yud Aleph, Pasek. Perek Yud Aleph, Pasek. Let's start with Pasek Ches. Let's review Pasek Ches. I'm not sure if we did Pasek Ches. Ki im shanim harbe yichyeh. Kei Pasek Yud Ches. The person will live a very long time. Perek Yud Aleph. Good morning. Perek Yud Aleph. Now you this pasuk ches. Kiim shanim harbe yichye ha'adam. Even pasuk ches. Perek yud aleph pasuk ches. Kiim. Even if a person will live for a very long time, kiim shanim harbe yichye ha'adam b'chulam. Every single one of his years. It really focuses on years. B'chulam, all of them. Yismach, he should enjoy. V'yizkor simei choshech, and he should remember days of darkness. Ki harbe yiyu kol shebo havel. Because there's a lot of hevel that is coming afterwards. What does all of this mean? B'tzudos tavet pasuk ches kiim ki afilu im yichye ha'adam shanim harbe yismach b'chol hayomim. Now that's a very important expression. What the b'tzudos tavet over here does is he crosses over from the word shanim to the word yomim, which is a topic of discussion among the commentators. And this pasuk is one of the shirash, one of the sources for this concept called the value of life. Okay, today, Baruch Hashem, today people are living a lot longer. People today live very, very long, and the complications of living such long lives have presented new challenges to society that did not exist in previous generations. And it's a very big thing today today we all know Obamacare. It's been mentioned death panels. And in so many countries, they're offering in the United States, they're offering assisted suicide, and all different forms of termination of life before the person dies. And the argument is that if a person already has reached a state where he's lived out his full life, oops, maybe battery? No. No, I turned it off now. Okay, if a person has lived out his years, he has lived out to a this is one of the topics I believe by the Aguda Convention, right? In Ruhol. They had a video on this. Chaim Aruchim, one of their programs, is advocacy to extend life, because the approach in society today is a person has lived out a very long life. He's already 100 years old, and his quality of life has been diminished to a very, very small, to very minor existence. So it's extremely expensive to preserve the person's life, and society, the secular society believes he might as well just not terminate him, but stand back and let the person die before he would otherwise, if there would be some type of intervention. This is a very, very big debate in the secular world. But here,
the little bit that I heard about that was that the medical world is basically the attitude that person's lived long enough,
right,
and so on. And so, of course, they're trying to combat that.
Torah has a value of life. That the yofesh sha'achas b'torah v'gemilas chasadim, one moment of Torah and gemilas chasadim is more valuable than all of the nachas ruach in chayei ha'olam haba. Okay, it's on. The battery is really good. I don't know. Okay, so this pasuk is cited as one of the sources, as we don't really, you know, Chazal say this concept. Yofesh sho'achas b'toyra u'v'gemilas chasadim yoyser mikol chayei ha'olam haba. One moment in this world where you busy yourself with Torah, gemilas chasadim, being maharer b'tshuva, is more valuable then all of Olam Haba, all of the Nachas Ruach a person can have in Olam Haba. Now, that's very hard to explain to a secular doctor to explain to an administration where it cost $20,000 to keep a person alive every single day, and insurance doesn't want to pay for it. That's a very tough sell.
Legal aspects of
it. It's a very complicated, right? It's a very complicated issue, and there are certain different types of approaches. It's just to just stand back and not give treatment, or even to the point where I've seen this in my own eyes, where they deliberately want to give new drugs that are known to definitely shorten the life of a person, to administer much stronger painkillers, and the side effects, some of these painkillers definitely slow the heart rate, and the person will die. So the question over here is, the person is not conscious anyway, he's not, so then does this really apply, this concept of yafa shachas? If the person is alive, okay, that's a different story. The person is thinking, he's walking, he's talking, he's doing things, but the person is already on a respirator, and it's not of just phasing out. So, but that is a chazal. Where is that chazal rooted in a pasuk? You know, chazal is a wonderful thing, Torah Shebaal Peh, but many times it's very good to have a chazal rooted in a pasuk. So this pasuk right in front of us is an often cited source for this concept that kiim, especially when you learn with the interpretation of the Mitzvah Stav, kiim shanim har b'yichyeh ha'od, a person that has already lived a long morning, a person that's lived a very long life. He's already 100 years old. So what more do you want from the person? Why should you go and bother society by with the great expense of preserving his life for another few days, another few months? What more is there to benefit already? So the pasuk says that's a mistake to make such a statement. Kim shanim har b'yichyeh ha'adam, even though you've lived a very long life, you've exceeded the life expectancy of the average person, you're already 110 years old, b'chulam, don't make a mistake. Every last day has value. That's what the Mitzvah says. Yismach, enjoy, take advantage of that moment. Because remember, remember that after this comes to an end, it's going to be very dark. And the darkness there in the next world, is going to be a lot longer than any tranquility and happiness that a person has in this world while he is alive. And then similarly, the Pasuk is going to say, he's going to reflect back while he's not in this world. If only I could have lived another day, another few hours, another few minutes. No, those few minutes that would have enhanced what I have now in the next world. It's very hard for us to appreciate this because no one has come back to tell us exactly what's going on, but that's what the Pasuk seems to say. And that's what Chazal certainly said. Let's begin to read the words of the Mesudos. It's a very frightening Pasuk.
It's the same thing as it's not saying the same thing again in the next phrase. It's saying you may live long, but you should
another day. Beautiful idea. Okay, that's another thing. Quality is another. He's not talking about quality of life. He's talking about a person already reached 110 years old. Alright, so in the hospital they're going to say, what do you want? We should treat him, we should do surgery. What's the advantage? He's going to go live another 10 days, another 5 days. He's 110 years old.
When I talked to one person, I said, is there anything I can get you? And he just looked at me and said,
an exit.
But we're not dealing with the reality of the priority of resources, that there is limited resources. If you have someone
It's extremely complicated. Dr. Fuchte, 100% on the mark.
I know the healthcare system is
bankrupt.
It's bankrupt, so.
Yeah.
It's reality.
I'm just throwing out very vague, abstract ideas. You're 100%, everything has. You're right.
No hospital's going to deny if you give them $1 million, they'll keep someone there forever.
They should.
For as long as that lasts.
I suggest, what I say is they should have, from people, they should have Chaim Aruchim insurance. like the average person, let's say in the secular world, it comes a point in time where it's not profitable. For the hospital, very profitable. It's a very great drain on their resources to keep them alive. Okay, so if you're part of the secular world, so the attitude is, okay, so we're not going to kill you, but we'll let you just phase out.
Call it dignity.
But if you would, like your doctor, you would give $1 million to the hospital, right? If you're for $1 million, we're making profit. We'll keep you alive. So no one person can afford to pay the cost of what the care, what it costs to stay alive another couple of days, another couple of months. Halacha says you have to do what you have to do, and obviously you're getting into a lot of problems with the hospital. The hospital, we don't care what the halacha says. There's only that much we can do, and there are laws in place, and so on and so forth, and too bad, and that's how it is. If there would be an insurance where people would pay a fee, a nominal fee, and everyone in the whole community, that would definitely, you know, an insurance policy for people, Rahman al-Sun, at the end of life, where they would want a certain an extension on life, where a hospital, according to the laws and according to their resource, would not be willing to do so. But for money, any kesef yana esakol. So think about it. If everyone in the firm community would give, I don't know what the numbers would be. There would be like an insurance policy, Rahman al-Sun, someone that would want al-fi halacha to extend his life. Then the government would be very willing to accommodate such. And you know, forget about even among us. There are many people in the secular world that would want.
The problem is, like you said, besides money, it's bed space also.
For money, there'll be bed space, right? For money, there'll be bed space.
What about extraordinary measures?
They'll do
yeah.
What?
That's what they call it.
They ask you. They ask a lot of people. Do you want to do heroic measures or not?
Okay, that's a topic for Dr. Fruchter. The pasuk just says this a general abstract idea, which we're not going into halachic details. The abstract idea is there is something to extending a person's life, certainly if he's a conscience. Okay, certainly if he's awake. Okay, to a lot of the stories, the horrors that we hear about today are people that are totally gone. They're just on a machine. It's a matter of pulling the plug. Okay, that's probably a different category. Look, you have the famous story with Reb Chaim ben Trajan when he was being executed and he was being tortured, and the executioner said, "If I release the sponges, and you'll die 3 minutes in advance, will I also marry Olam Haba?" So he said yes. Rabbi Hananya ben Chadid, he was dying al Kiddush Hashem, gave up time of his life. Right, he gave up time of his life. He should have said, "No, I want to suffer the most. I want to stay alive. I want to stay alive the longest possible amount of time and suffer, so that I'll have more chelik in Olam Haba, but also this chayy Olam." He didn't say that. He said, "I'm suffering. I'm being tortured to death. They have attached these wet sponges to prevent me from dying." And he told the executioner, "Yeah, take them off so I can die right away." So you see, there is something that when you are in pain, when you are suffering, there is a precedent without question from the greatest of the great that you're allowed to accelerate your death, or at least take away any impediments that prevent you from leaving this world. And he told the executioner, "Yeah, take off." And that executioner earned Olam Haba. Can you imagine? He earned Olam Haba for causing him to die a few minutes earlier than he would have otherwise. So that has to be taken into consideration without question in this issue. Yeah. But you still cannot deny the fact and take away from the fact that Chazal do emphasize there is something called Chaye Shah. If a person wants to live for a few more moments, a few more days, he has, then there is a value to that Chaye Shah, and that Chaye Shah is being expressed in this pasuk Yismach. You may have lived a long life, but you have a little bit more to go. Yismach b'chulam yismach. You want to know the words of the Mitzudos, pasuches, ki afilu im yichye ha'odam shanim harbe yismach b'chol hayamim, rejoice in all of those days. V'yaf yom echod lo yokotz. He's shifting between years to days. Even one day, good morning. Even one day, do not yokotz, do not reject. B'chayim of life im rabim im ribuyam. Even though your days in this world have been numerous, it does not matter. Rejoice in every last day that you have. The yiskar aval b'chayim in your lifetime you shall remember. Yisimei achleishach asher shoychev b'kever. The days of darkness in which you will rest, you will sleep in the grave. Asher yihyu mirubim yom. The days is a very frightening experience. First of all, it says over here that death is judged in time. What does that mean exactly? We know that in Olam HaEmes, once the neshama leaves this world, he loses track of concept of time. In the Olam HaEmes, it's hoyve, hoya v'yeh. There's no such thing as time. The present, the past, and the future are all one and the same. It's impossible for us to understand that concept, but that is a reality of the Olam HaEmes. But it says here that at least in this world, when you want to think about what's going to be after a person leaves, you have to realize that it's eternal. The Al Yidei Zayir Lehachshir Ma'asav. And what is the message? The Mitzvos and Rashi often try to tell us, so what's the bottom line? What's the message? This is a Musar Sefer. The message is a person should do tshuva. He should improve his deeds. Kol Shabo Hovel. Call. Now here, this word Havel is a very unusual word. What does it mean exactly in this context? We're going to see Rashi is going to struggle with this. The Mitzvah says Kol Shabo Havel. Kol. Now this is also a very frightening statement that Mitzvah is going to make. And what he says here is very controversial. It's not clear what he means, because Chazal seemed to indicate the opposite of what he's about to say. That what's going to, all of the suffering that the Neshama is going to have in the next world will accomplish nothing for the Neshama. Kol ha'yisudim haba shama, that happens during the grave, hevel heima mibli toelas. It is futile. It's futility. Futile. Not know that the neshama, after the neshama leaves this world and is in the grave, suffers.
You have hevel heima?
I have hevel. What do you have?
Kol ha'yisudim haba shama.
Haba shama. Okay, I have the word hevel. I have the word hakol. Ah, you have hakol instead of the word hevel. Okay, I have a base and a chaf. And my text is a base, no doubt about it. It's a base here.
No, so we have haba and you have hevel.
Okay, shama, whatever it is, hevel hema mibli toelas. There's no benefit that you do have, right? Mibli toelas. There's no benefit. Good morning. When a person is alive and he suffers, the suffering is an advantage, is a purpose. What's beneficial? When a person suffers, it causes him to think, why did Hashem do this to me? Must be because I have sinned, and there's room for improvement. After death, there's no room for improvement. There's no room to reflect upon your deeds. Therefore, the message a person should think about his deeds. When a person suffers in this world, he should think about his why he is suffering. It must be because the Kadosh Baruch Hu is speaking to him and giving him a message, telling him to improve his ways, to prepare for what's going to be in the next world. Now, what's so controversial about this is because most of Chazal, what we're familiar with, is that going to Gehenna in the next world is, the punishment is a purification of the soul. So there is a benefit. There is no question that Hashem does not cause a person to suffer in the next world for just this punishment and reward. What the Mitzvahs, on a very simple level, we can interpret the Mitzvahs in many different ways, but on a very simple level, it appears that when a person leaves this world and he receives punishment, it is punishment for the sake of punishment. There is no benefit. There is no benefit in that punishment. It's just, you have done an Avera, so you have to be punished. Will you derive any benefit from this punishment? No. You'll be punished for the purpose of punishment. In this world, on the other hand, when a person is punished, the Mitzvah seems to be saying there's no such thing as pure punishment. Every form of punishment in this world is just a wake-up call for a person to reflect upon what he has done and mentally change his attitude towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu, or towards what he has, the crimes he has committed in the past. It's a very profound idea that there's no punishment in this world per se.
The Vincent Ives talks about it in his Yadis Tavash, one of the drushes.
And in the next world, there's no punishment that will cause you to change your status of where you're holding in the next world. It'll be punishment for the sake of punishment. That's a very difficult thing to grasp, because it would appear that in this world, in two respects, in this world, there's also something called punishment for the sake of punishment. And then there's also, in the next world, a punishment which is there to refine the neshama, so the neshama can travel higher, reach new levels of closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Again, no one came back to tell us what's going on over there, so all of this is very abstract, but it's still just something very interesting.
I mean, Bob, I said there's always room for improvement.
But let's say a person is incapacitated. Let's say he's incapacitated. There's nothing more to him to do. The person is completely, he's a cripple. And he's just completely He can't do. So what room for improvement? Mentally, there's room for improvement. Mentally, okay. So this. Now, also, you can say that with the mitzvahs. The mitzvahs doesn't mean 100%. There's no punishment that's of a benefit in the next world. What he means is, in respect to having the opportunity to change your ways. That's all the mitzvahs really means. Of course, and the Olam HaMaaseh he agrees that the neshama that in Gehenna it goes through a purification process, which allows it to go to higher levels of closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But as far as having that punishment, which will give the person the opportunity to do the deeds again, to put on tefillin again with a new approach, new appreciation, that will be denied in the next world. Okay, but it is a very frightening thing, and it does bring out these two. He brings out here in this very simple pasuk two very fascinating concepts: the chashivus of chayei shah. No matter how long you live, every moment makes a difference. Yismach, a person should cherish every moment. And the second idea of what exactly is the nature of punishment in the next world.
What does chayei shah mean?
To live for a moment, a momentary
existence for
the moment. Person is not going to live another 10 years. He's going to live for one more day. Doctor says we can do a procedure, and if we'll do this procedure, you'll live one more day. Do you want to do the procedure? So some will say, why bother? The hospital will certainly say, well, if the insurance is not going to pay for it, then we don't want to do it. This procedure is going to cost $20,000. We have to keep you in the bed for another day, and the procedure, the surgeon, the surgical team is $20,000. Who's going to pay for this? The insurance, we've checked with your insurance, they've denied, they're not paying for it. So, sorry buddy, you'll have to die today. You'll have to die today. You're not going to die tomorrow. So according to halacha, you shell out of your own pocket, of your life savings, who is the money going to go to the Yersha, to your children? I'd rather have my children have the $20,000 than I should pay the hospital $20,000. Tough shayla, you know. It's a very tough shayla. What do you say about this? So I don't know. There's probably a lot of different
chalukim. Specialize in this and deal with these things every day, but as far as I understand, it's on a case by case basis.
It's a case by case basis. It's not all simple. There's no case. You can never generalize from one case to the next. That was one of the Aguda convention. I just saw some clips online. That was one of the things they featured. Is they have a thing called the Chaim Aruchim program,
is involved in that.
Which basically, and then the RC also has a very similar program where you sign up in your lifetime when you're healthy, who should be the your poskim, your proxy advocates, and they have clout also if you're part of the more people, so they have influence over the hospitals. It's very complicated, obviously, and every case is very different, and sometimes you'd be shocked what halacha would say. You would think halacha would say do this, and you'd be shocked to find that the majority of the poskim would say no, adarabah, you should do just the opposite. So it's a very
poskim won't answer until they don't know the person. Because a lot has to do with the person.
And many times they'll say it's your decision.
Right.
Many times they'll say.
Rabbi gives you an answer, and he gets questions like this. Come to Rav
Dovid. Rav Feinstein.
Well, Rav Dovid, not Rav Dovid.
Also, this, yeah.
He doesn't necessarily know the person.
And many times I'll tell you, it's a chiluki des. I know stories where there was a question of brain death questions. I remember my father. My father was involved in one of the balabatim, and I think he called up Rav Dovid. I think he called up Rav Dovid Cohn. And it was a very complicated question, and he basically said there's two tzadim, this case is very complicated, and basically let the family decide to do whatever they want. There's no clear answer, and it's your discretion. It's your discretion of how you want to handle the situation. The halacha does not here, in this instance, have a clear mahalach. Whatever you do is good. You can do this, and you do whatever you feel is you're comfortable doing. And many other times they tell you, we don't care what you feel is comfortable doing. It's clear cut. This is the halacha. The halacha is you have to do this. Okay, let's see Rashi. Rashi pasuk ches. Bechulam yismach yisamech bechelka. A person ezeho asher hasamech bechelka. He borrows from that expression yisamech bechelka. Okay, we're not talking about being an usher here. There's no mention of being an usher over here, but that's what it says. Yismach yismach dechalko v'lvad sheyiskor yimei hachoshech. This pasuk really leads into the next pasuk. We'll see in a moment. Person should be happy in his portion. V'lvad sheyiskor yimei hachoshech. He should remember what's coming in the future. The yetiv masav, and he should improve his deeds. She notzel mehem, that he shall be spared from the darkness, the gehenna that awaits a person at the end. Vehem yimei, what is awaiting the person? Yimei misas oilam. Heim yimei harashahim are the days of the wicked. Now, there's something over here missing in Rashi. I don't really know how to have clarity. But one point I want to make is that Rashi is learning the pasuk very different than the Mitzudos. Rashi does not emphasize the concept of chaye shah whatsoever. Rashi is talking about general. It's who says here this chaye shah? That was the Mitzudos' idea. That was his novelty in the pasuk. All the pasuk says, "Im shanim harbe yichya adam b'chulam yismach." A person just enjoy life. General, simple interpretation of the pasuk. Hashem put you in this world. You're here to enjoy the ride. But whatever you do, just remember the day will come when death will come. Death is inevitable, and in death, there is what he calls over here. There is misas oilam. He describes death as eternal death. Heim yimei horashoyim. What does that mean exactly? That tzaddikim do not have misas oilam. Tzaddikim, after they leave this world, they go to a different place. And their passage is not called misas oilam. So a person should just prepare himself in this world not to go to misas oilam. Next Rashi, ki habe yiyu b'oison hayomim yoisem yimei hachayim. I knew a person always used to say to me, it's very frightening, he say to me, I have more yesterdays than tomorrows. I'm in the stage of my life, I have to be very careful. It's a very, very sober way to look at life. More yesterdays than tomorrows. Now he's saying that idea in this Rashi. Ki harbe yiyu b'osan hayamim yoser mimei hachayim. He's not saying as far as life, he's saying as far as death. That the tomorrows in death are going to be more than the yesterdays of life.
And that's why I think the Sephorno, I mean, if I read the Sephorno right, he says you would want it, if you knew what was waiting for you when you die, believe me, you would rather be alive.
I'd still rather be alive.
Regardless of what you're going through over here, believe me.
I had a chavrusa once. And he said to me, he used to say to me, I'm afraid to die because I know that when I go, I'm in a lot of trouble. And then he said specifically, I'm afraid to see my parents. Because my parents in the Olam HaEmes, they're going to have big tightness on me. So I really can't die. I cannot die. But on the other hand, I got a wife. I got a wife. And I'm telling you, it's hard to live. So he said to me, I'm stuck. I can't die because I can't meet my parents. I can't live because my wife is giving me a hard time. So he said, so the male, he says to me, he's my chavru, says, I'm stuck here with you. You're stuck in the middle. And may you like that? Okay.
that's the line from the Sephora tomorrow.
Okay, that's what it says. Kol Shabba, b'oisnayam yiyoisimechayim, kol Shabba olav yehevel. Now, Rashi here says something very important. Kol Shabba olav yehevel. Everything that comes upon a person in the next world. Now, Rashi here is dealing with a Rasha. Rashi made it clear in the previous Rashi that we're dealing over here, we're dealing with Misas Oilam. Misas Oilam, Rashi is a term, this must come from Medrash. We must come from Medrash. Unfortunately, we don't learn the Midrashim. That would be really fantastic if we can go through the Midrashim. But the Misas Olam refers to the Yimei HaRashoim. So we're dealing over here that a person should not enter on that path of Yim, because the Rasham are going to suffer Hevel. What is Hevel? Kol Shabo Laviyah Hevel V'Choshech. Two words which mean the same thing, darkness. Then he says, Yesh Hevel Shehu Lashon Peronos V'Tzaros Kamo BaHevel Bo V'Choshech Yilech. Now the word Hevel probably is the most important word of Sefer Koheles. Okay, that's the beginning. Havel Havelim Amar Koheles Hakol Havel. It says seven times the word Havel. Okay, I didn't say the pasuk right there. It says in the pasuk the word Havel seven forms. Havolim, Loshen Rabim, a total of seven Havolim. Why is there such an emphasis on the word Havel? And more importantly, what does it mean, Havel? Havel is a very hard word to translate. Futility. Just a waste of time, nonsense. Here Rashi obviously is telling us that there are different types of Havel in Sefer Koheles. And the Havel here that we're using in this pasuk is not the same translation of Havel in the beginning of the Sefer. Here Havel means punishment. It means tsorois, choshech. He has many different words. It means unpleasantness. Most of the time, I think Hevel is happiness, right? Person goes to a restaurant, has a delicious meal, he's having a wonderful time, bliss. But in the big picture, of things, it's Hevel. It's just a waste of time. You've just wasted $100 and you've wasted an hour doing nothing. That's Hevel. But you enjoyed it. At least you got something out of it. But in the big picture of things, it was futile what you've done. Here, that's not what the word Hevel means. Hevel here means unpleasantness, darkness, tsoros. And that's what Rashi says. The word Hevel in this pasuk, kol shema lov yehevel, v'choshech, there's going to be Hevel, v'choshech, yeshevel, shehu loshon, poranos. This is not fun. Tsoros, not fun.
What's the difference between poranos and tsoros?
I don't know. There must be a difference. Just being poetic. Kamoki behevel bo vachoshech yelech. And what's very, this refers to the Nefel. Now, I don't know what this means. The Nefel has ki. Behevel bo vachoshech yelech. I think what he just means over here is the word hevel in that pasuk is associated with the word darkness. But the Nefel doesn't really suffer punishment. The Nefel, you can't say the Nefel is in pain. What sin did the Nefel do that the Nefel has to feel pain? We just see that the word Nefel, Hevel, is associated with the word darkness. And in this pasuk, darkness obviously means suffering. For dealing with the wicked people, the darkness there is a place of suffering. Okay, now let's see the Targum. The Targum in pasuk Ches. Targum says Arum. Now the Targum has a little bit of a twist to what it means over here, Yismach Arum. Before we read the Targum, I just want to review. According to the Metzudos, Yismach means Chayesha. Enjoy a moment. Even though you're 120 years old, Hashem gave you another few minutes to live. Enjoy the Chayesha. According to Rashi, Yismach means enjoy your entire life. Targum, Arum, that Arum is the translation of ki. In yoimin sagiin choi enosha, if a person is granted a long life, bechulhon chazile, every person should see to it to rejoice. Chazile should see to it lemichdei ule misak beoiraisa da Hashem. The yismach is pekudei Hashem yisharim misam chaylev. The yismach is not enjoy a few moments of life with your grandchildren and your great-grandchildren, and you'll sit around and you'll schmooze. It's not to enjoy a good life, a good parnasa, a good family. It's to enjoy the simchas ha-Torah. That requires a lot of work. Ha-ana from learning is an acquired taste. There's a famous story with the Chazon Ish. The Chazon Ish, he saw two bachrim battling on the roof. And this story has been written up already a few times. And the Chazon Ish told them that it's impossible to have simcha from learning unless you at least are learning for 2 hours. You have to, the simcha from learning, the mind does not have enjoyment from learning until you have to just sit and learn continuously. After 2 hours, then the mind begins to open up, and then already you can feel the sweetness of Torah. Most people don't ever make it. Even people who are in Koilo, people sit and learn the whole day, they do not make it 2 hours without a significant interruption. You learn for an hour, for 2 hours. By that time already, there's something already bothering you. You have to go out. It's already, the Seder is over, or you have some tirda, you have to make a phone call. And there's a significant break. And then you come back. Okay, so you come back. You try to catch up where you left off. And he actually, what's so amazing about this letter, I don't have it, is not a letter. He goes on to describe the exact, like a very bizarre such a thing, it's almost like a psychologist. The exact sensation you feel in the third hour, in the fourth hour, the fifth hour. So he goes on to the 12th hour, and he describes exactly what your mind, the sensation that goes through your mind during these hours. It takes one to know, because he obviously would sit for continuous, would study. Well, no, the Chazon Ish.
No children.
He went through what it means to learn for 12 hours straight, and the sensation you feel when you reach each single hour. And he basically told these Bachrim, you're sitting around for 2 hours. It's a joke. You'll never have any real understanding and flavor into it. Like I told you, today you go to Lakewood. How many people in Lakewood can tell you they sit and learn the whole day? They can go for 2 hours seriously, nonstop, before you'll have some significant interruption, and it's very hard to really appreciate the simcha, the true simcha of Torah. Okay, but over here it says,
I heard a bit different in the name of Chazon Ish. You learn ba'amkus.
You learn with accountability. I heard. There's a new phenomenon going on already for many years. It's already probably 9 years. Dirshu. This David Hofstra. He gives a lot of money to what he holds accountability in learning. He gives a lot of money. People should take exams. Take exams on daf yomi. Then they have the Mishnah Brura, and they have a halacha program to learn Shulchan Aruch, and it's a major program. And they have every so often conventions where they bring together all the participants in the program to learn. So I know of a Rebbe in Chaim Berlin. He went there to this convention. I don't know why he went. Maybe because he had children that were there. So he went and he came back and he told me that he never saw. He's learning his whole life. And you know, the yeshiva world, they don't give exams. You learn the Shema, whatever. There's no accountability. You learn a daf, you learn this. That's just the way it is, for better or for worse. And he said he went to this convention and he never saw people, such truly happy people. The people at this convention were people that took many, many exams. They were real heavy duty Talmidei Chachamim who fulfilled the program with accountability. They learned hundreds, if not Shas, 2,700, it could be, there was a thing to see my Shas. And he said he really saw there something he never saw. Real Simchas HaTorah. Not the Simchas Torah you see when you go on after Sukkot, Simchas Torah, but real Simcha that only can come from true accomplishment in learning. And there's something to it. There's something, you know, we learn, we talk about, we live in a world today, everyone is learning, learning, learning. Yeah, we're learning, 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 but unless you have that accountability and you have that consistency and the pressure and what really the Torah demands of you, you're not going to reach the level of Simcha. And this pasuk is a very frightening pasuk. I mean, we know what it says. It says in the pasuk, "Pikudi Hashem Yisham is Samchei Leiv." But it says here, if you really want to have a good life, Hashem gave you a life. Kim Shon Harba Yichya Adam, you live a long life. Bechulam Yismach. See to it. Very powerful targum. Chazile Lemichte Ulemiisak Beoraisa De Hashem. See to it to rejoice and to busy yourself with the Torah of Hashem. Turn the Torah into simcha, true simcha, and that's, believe me, no easy task. V'hei dakir yas, then he goes on to the end of the pasuk. V'yizkor, what does it mean, the days of darkness? What's darkness? V'yehei dechir yishrimim yas yomei chashocha demosa. Make no mistake about it. Choshech means death. Everyone said that. Okay, the mitzudos said death. And Rashi, I should take it back, Rashi didn't say death. Rashi said Misas Oilam. It means the death, and which are the Yemei Rishoyim. There are different types of death. There's the death for a Rasha, and then Tzadikim, they don't suffer death. They just live on in a different sphere, different dimension. What? Yachim Leleis. Okay, there's a famous Chazal. Chayimei Chayesar. The parasha of death is called Chayesar. Okay, but here it says Yimei Chayeshach. He doesn't say that. He just says, remember, Kuyos Yimei Chashocho Demosa. He doesn't talk about like Rashi. But here it's very interesting that the Targum is less midrashic than Rashi. Rashi says death means Misas Oilam Yimei Harishayim. Targum says no. Forget it. We're not going there. Just be practical. Remember, you're not going to be in this world forever. There's something called death. V'lo yichuv, and a person should not sin. Arum sagi'in inun yoimaya deyishkov shechiva beveis kivurta, because there's going to be many, many days that the body will live in the beis hakvaris. Lekabola dina min shemaya. Now this is very mystical, that in the grave he's going to receive the din min hashemayim, the punishment. Bechayoyi, that's going to come to him. What is it over here? Rami asher bechayoyi. That was Roy.
He was accountable from all the things that he did during his lifetime.
Huh? That he was account all the things that he deserved because of the sins of his lifetime. One more time, those words: lekabola dina min shemaya bechayoyi. The din birchem that he loved. The life that he once upon a time loved, the life that he loved, called Zman Diyese Alohi, all of the time that comes upon him, a Puranusa, Umarin, an evil, Al Havlusa de Avad Beolme Hodain, in this world. Shabbat Havel, so he's translating over here. Read the words again in the Pasuk. V'yizkor yismeach, a person should remember that it's going to come upon him death, and he's going to suffer punishment. Ki harbe yiyu, there's going to be a long, long period of time when he's going to suffer punishment. Kol shebo hovel is the hovel of this world. Not like Rashi on the Mitzudos. Not like Rashi that says the hevel is the hevel of the next world. All of the hevel, the foolish, futile nonsense that he has done in this world will haunt him after he dies, while he's in the grave.
He's referring to Bittul Torah, because he's talking about Torah. The Hevel is means the Bittul Torah.
The Bittul Torah. He doesn't follow through like that, but if you want to say that, that's very possible. But that's what those last words of the Targum are very critical. Al Havlusa Da'avat, concerning the Hevel that he has committed, the Olma Hodein in this world. Clearly parting from... What?
This version, it doesn't say...
Yeah, we don't have that.
You don't have the word Hodein?
No.
No, it says the Avad or the Avad.
The Avad. Yeah.
The Avad. Oh, it doesn't say which world. Okay, so the obviously different Girsos. But if you, with the Girs that I have, he's parting from Rashi and the Mitzudos, that the Hevel is this world. Yes.
You articulated...
Yes.
Machokas between Targum and Rashi.
Yes.
Not so simple. One's a
Talmud,
one's a
Rishon.
Is that not so?
Well, Rashi is usually citing from earlier sources. Rashi is selective. So even though Rashi is a Rishon, you're right. Rashi is a Rishon, but Rashi is not necessarily saying his own ideas. Rashi is saying from tradition things that preceded him from the time of the Targum. Okay, you're right. We're very, very liberal. I always say that the Rashi's are arguing on the Mitzudos. The Mitzudos lived in the 18th century. Okay, Rashi lived in the 11th century. Okay, so we
so
just like
1700s.
Yeah, he lived 18. Wow. He died 18. And it was published in the year 1820, I think. The wow. Mitzudos David. It was published by the son. For the person who wrote the Mitzudos David was the father. And the father, he never finished the manuscript in the son. I've got the whole history. And the son, his son, he finished off the manuscript and printed it. It's an amazing schus. Can you imagine every printed Mikros Gedolos has the Mitzudos David? It's unprecedented.
Same comments here.
An acharon. I don't remember his name. An acharon, someone living in the 18th century, or even 19th century, 1820, I think it was 19th century even. I'm not sure. The 18th, maybe I'm making a mistake. Either, but someone living so recent should be accepted by the entire Klal Yisrael, B'li Yotzim in HaKlal, and is printed. It's unheard of, such a thing. Yeah. Where do you have such a thing? Such a person has such wide influence. All right, so this is the interpretation. Yeah. Okay, before we proceed, anything I wanted to mention? No, I think we got it all. Okay, let's go to Pasuk test. Pasuk test is very frightening. Pasuk is very popular. Pasuk, Smach Bacha B'Yaldu Secha. Young man, enjoy your youth. Youth is wasted on the young. Okay, we all know that expression, and it's a really, really big mystery. Why Hashem made the world like that? Really, it's a philosophical issue, challenge to all the big philosophers. Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu create a world where the reality is youth is wasted on the young? That's the Metzius. V'tivcha libcha b'mei v'chu roisecha. Your heart should delight and take joy in the days of your youth. Okay, we'll translate v'chu roisecha can mean many different things. The word bachur either can mean, comes from the word shichur, blackness. We're going to the Rashi that when a person is young, his hair is black. Or it can mean chosenness, the chosen days of your life. Ahalech b'darchi libcha gives a third expression, and go in the ways of your heart. V'mari inecha. So this is obviously the pasuk, one of the big psukim, especially relevant in our day and age, of shmira seinayim. Today you can see dvarim ho'asurim in 5 minutes more than most people can see in their entire lives only 100 years ago. Can you imagine that? You go back 100 years ago, go back to Europe, and people wanted to see dvarim ha'asurim, things that their eyes should not see. You can stand on your head from today until tomorrow. It wasn't even possible in your entire lifetime to see. What were you already going to see? You're going to see a zona. What could you already possibly see? What could you see to stimulate your Yetzirah 100 years ago? Today, in 5 minutes, even if they weren't dressed modest, you would go to a place where you could find goyim not dressed at all. You go to a makam of mishugoyim where they're not dressed at all. What already are you going to see already? How much could you see? What could you see already? What could you see today in 5 minutes? In 5 minutes, you can see more than people can see their whole lives. It's this unbelievable phenomenon. What a person can do today. It's shocking, the koyach of how much avera a person can contaminate their neshama, what they can do because it contaminate their neshama. Okay, so smach bach b'lozach v'tivcha libcha b'mei v'chazel, this pasuk is called all the time, halach b'darchei libcha v'mari enecha, and the pasuk, it's telling you, do whatever you want. It's so there are different interpretations of what it means. So simply, one interpretation is it's a rhetorical, and I don't know, it's saying, the pasuk is setting you up. It doesn't mean to do it. It means don't do it. Uh-huh. You have to read the pasuk backwards. V'mari enecha, v'da is a very powerful word. Ki al kol eila yiviacha elokim ba'mish. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu will bring you to judgment. Hashem will bring you to judgment for what you have for Mishra. So therefore, basically, the simple translation we'll see in the Mesudos is, basically, read the Pasuk backwards. Basically, you have to start off with recognition, Vidah. You better realize Kiyal Kol Eli Yaviach Lakimba Mishpat, and therefore don't be enticed by the Yetzirah that tells you to do all of the things in the beginning of the pasuk. Okay, let's go. Let's see the Mitzudos and I'll read the Targum. There's a lot of the Halakha on the pasuk. One thing at a time. Pasuk Tes in the Mitzudos Tavit. Smach Bachur Ata you Bachur, you young man. Ata now Smach. Rejoice behatoiva shahayulcha bimei yaldusecha. Rejoice. So this is learning something very different than what you would assume. Rejoice of all the good that Hashem has given you. Ki oz bevadei leichotosu meiroiv hatoiva. Because at this time in your life, you have nothing to do tshuva. He's saying a beautiful idea. A person who's an adult has at times, what he appears to be saying is, has to be a pirish. You have to separate yourself from the good of this world in order to discipline your neshama. Why do I have to be a parish? Why can't I eat have a good piece of meat? Why do I have to fast? Why do I have to bring upon me sifugim, yisurim? Hashem put me in this world to enjoy this world. The answer is, well, you're an adult because you have done averos. Let's be realistic. Ein tzadik ba'aretz asher yaseh tov v'lo yecheta. You've done averos, and therefore you have baggage. You have a lot of baggage coming with you to the next world, and you have to cleanse your neshama. Only way you're going to cleanse your neshama, the Balei Moser teach, is to bring upon yourself sifug. Now, you'll tell me that this is not the approach. We don't do this today. We're not on such a bal madrega. But there is no question that there's something to this. And the person, he fasts and he denies himself the pleasures of this world periodically, not 100%. It's to the benefit of the neshama. The only one that has to do that is an adult, because an adult is molechet. But a child, what could the child already have done? A young man, a young boy. Well, what could have a young man already, what aveiros could he have done that he has to go bring upon himself suffering? He has no baggage. His neshama is pure. So that's right. So you, young man, are entitled to enjoy this world without limitations. Don't fast. There's no need for you to fast to bring upon yourself suffering because there's no need to do so. That's the approach of the Mitzvah Stav, the very deep idea. Therefore, when you're young, when you're an adolescent, when you're a young man, enjoy life. This, you don't have to fast. You don't have to do all these, learn, do all these extreme things. Go on vacations. Enjoy yourself. But be aware. Just watch out. Just pay attention to the things that you do in life. Because if you do aveiros in life, then be aware at the end of your life, you're going to have to cleanse yourself from those sins. If you do, among the things that you do enjoy in your life, you find the chet v'avon, be very careful how you conduct your life. There's not even a small molecule of sin. Period. Okay, so this is one interpretation, a very lightweight interpretation. As long as you have no baggage, enjoy life. But when you do something which is sinful, then already you're going to have to stand back. You're not going to be able to enjoy life. You're going to have to bring upon yourself sifugin.
Why didn't we learn this when we were in kindergarten?
Who says we didn't learn this?
That's what he's saying.
Enjoy life.
When you're old man, you're learning it. When you're young, you didn't have to...
You're young. What do you mean you're young? Everyone here is in their youth. Who goes to Kollel? Only the youngsters go to Kollel. Okay, now he says another pshat. This pshat is probably the more popular pshat. Oh, I have a new interpretation. Oh. A person says, son, I have to speak to you. Boy goes out, he has a wonderful day. He comes home, and the father says, son, come into the office, into the study. I got bad news to tell you. You're in trouble. I got a call from your Rebbe, you did an Avera. Chet Chata. So the Pasuk is telling you not to do it. The Pasuk is not like the first interpretation. The Pasuk is saying over here is you have to read the Pasuk in the reverse order. That watch out. Hashem does not punish you in your youth. Hashem allows a person to accumulate sin until he reaches the breaking point, Nismale Hasah, and then in one shot, all the punishment for all of the averus comes upon the person. So the Pasuk really is saying is, don't be misled. Don't think that just because today you did an avera and you didn't get caught, and the day before you did an avera, and tomorrow you'll do an avera, just because it seems like no one is watching, and you're able to continuously do averos in secret, doesn't mean there's not going to be a din v'cheshbon. Ultimately, the law will catch up with you. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will catch up with you. So the Pasuk is saying, oh, it seems you're a young boy. You have not yet filled up the measure of sin where you're deserving of punishment. So therefore, B'smach Baruch Hu B'Yelosich, the Pasuk is making litzanis. Oh, have a good time. Do an avera today. V'tivcha libcha b'mei v'chu yosecha. Do an avera tomorrow. V'halech v'darachei libcha. And be full of gaiva and full of this avera and that avera. V'mari einecha. Look at what you want. Don't worry, eventually all of your sins will catch up, and when it's nismale hasa, you'll be punished.
Maybe it means
chate,
sin,
like,
no, I think sarcastically, do whatever you want to do it, do it, it's too late.
Okay, you want to say the statement, sin, but eventually you'll be punished. Eventually, when the measure is full, Tilke alakol, you'll be punished for everything. So the Pasuk is sarcastic. Yeah, go ahead, do whatever you want, but don't worry, you'll be punished. Dafkan Gozam V'Omar. There's an exaggeration. There's sarcasm. Samach Bachur Be'es Yalducecha Eish Shehayetzim Miskaber. Rejoice, do whatever you want. V'Lo Tidag B'Gmul Hamasa. We're making litzanis of you, and don't be afraid. Don't worry about of the punishment. The Kavul Hadava B'Mila Shonis V'Omar. But the V'Tivcha Libcha V'Asi Mash Libcha Chafetz V'Tuach Tiyeh. But don't but watch out. I am confident. Ki al kol ela yeviacha elokim b'mishpat, Hashem will ultimately bring you in judgment for. So far, we have over here two very different mahalchim. The more popular approach is the sarcastic approach, and the first approach is telling you, not sarcastic, you're right. Enjoy life. As long as you have nothing to be sorry for, there's no need to learn Mesilas Yishon. That's what they say. They say in the previous generation, until the Chafetz Chaim came along, there was no such thing as a Sefer Shmiras HaLashon. So how come all of a sudden this generation, we need a Sefer Shmiras HaLashon, we need 5 minutes a day in emails and seminars and Sfarim? What happened in the previous generation? Rav Pam used to always talk about this. Rav Pam said, my mother never opened up a Sefer Chafetz Chaim. She never opened up these things. But yet, she never in her life said one word of Lashon Hara. It was a different generation. It was natural. It was natural. You didn't need to spend all of these things to encourage you not to do these type of averos. That's exactly what the Pasuk over here says. As long as you're good, you have nothing to worry about. As long as you're good, rejoice, have a wonderful life. You have to go spend half an hour a day learning Mesilas Yesharim and shuckling and like Mavardik Yeshiva. You don't have to do this. Go out, play ball. Go out, have a good time. Hashem gave you this world to enjoy this world. You have to put upon yourself sifugim. Rejoice. Go on a tour. Enjoy what the world has to offer. It's only when you're in trouble, v'da. It's only when you're in trouble, when you do averos, then you have to say, you know what? I can't do all of these things. I have to put myself in a learn mussar and be do tshuva to prepare for the next world. There's one thing I want to point out. It's a very interesting thing in the word v'da. Actually, he has over here a very interesting story from the Ketzoyis HaChoshen. The Ketzoyis HaChoshen, he lived not that long ago. He wrote three psalms. The Ketzoyis, I forgot his name, Shev Shmatz and the Avdi Miluim. I do not know what his name is. The famous Ketzoyis. He was a high school rebbe. What we would call a high school rebbe. He taught teenagers. He taught them Gemara, Rashi, Tosfos. That was the shir he gave. And yet he became a goyin sheba goyinim. He wrote these three svarim. What would the Olam HaTorah look like today without the Ketzoyis, without the Avni Miluim and the Shev Shmaitz? Shev Shmaitz is like, you know, the classic Lamdisha Sefer. There's an exclusive in Yeshiva. Remember, there was an exclusive group, and I was in high school, to learn Shev Shmaitz. They brought in a bachar, a very big mitzvah from the Beis Medrash. He now is a Rosh Yeshiva in Lakewood. He has his own Yeshiva. Very big Talmud. And he would learn with the biggest mitzuyonim, Shev Shmaitzer. We learn with them an hour, Mitzvah Shabbos. You had to be the best of the best to get into the exclusive group to learn, to be part of the group, to come to the shir to learn Shev Shmaitzer. I mean, sure, he has a shir. He has a shir for a few minutes a day. He teaches Shev Shmaitzer. He also has it. He wrote the Shev, this person who was 17. Shev Shmaitz Avdi Mulman Ksaisa Chayshen. So this person, so he had a Talmud. The story is, it's a very simple story. And it doesn't say who the person was. The person, the Talmud came to him. He was a teenager. And he said, I've been in the yeshiva for a couple of years and I'm off to the races. I'm now leaving yeshiva. I'm going to work. I'm getting married. And thank you very much. I learned a lot from you. So he said to him, So his departing words of the Ketzoyis HaChoshen was this pasuk. He said to him, Balpe, Semach bochur b'yaldusecha, you're young, v'tivcha libcha b'mei v'chudosecha. He was going out into the world, he was leaving, he was 18 years old, he's leaving yeshiva, going out to get a job, to leave the world. And then when he came to the word v'dah, he stopped. He grabbed his hand and he shook and he squeezed his hand and he said with the greatest kavana, Vidah, Vidah, ki al kol eile yeviach elokim b'mishpat. And this Talmud, it doesn't say who he is, this image, the word Vidah, stood before him the rest of his life. Every time he had an Nisayon, it just came to his head, Vidah. the word Vida Kyal Kol Ela Yiviach Elokim Bamishpat. What struck me is I used to have the opportunity to spend some more time learning Mishnah Berurah. And the Chofetz Chaim, if you would ask me, what is his favorite word? Okay, I'm just saying something which is a little bit, is the word Vida. He does that. He uses this. It's amazing that he uses this exact technique, this exact way. I think it's unique to him. I don't know. I can't say. You have to do studies of other poskim or other writers use this word. But the Chofetz Chaim very often he writes this whole parish on the halacha, and then when he wants to tell you something, he writes Vida. You should know this is the way it is. Vida. He does that pretty often. I mean, one classic example is Parsha Zohar. Do you lay on Parsha Zohar? Do you lay on Timcha Zecher Amalek or Zecher Amalek? So today, there's a lot of research with the Aleppo Codex. And there are people who are very forceful in believing that the correct girsa is Zecher Amalek. There are such people. I've heard, shiurim online. They even though we don't have the liberal codex for Chumash, it's missing. It's not been burnt. It's missing in action. But they claim they saw it, and it says the Mishnah, he writes Vida. We don't know if the correct nusach is zecher or zecher. He writes it as a matter of fact. Vida, you should know. No matter what people are going to tell you, there's really no way to know what the correct Messiah is. It's a powerful word. It's a very powerful word. The Mishnah Berurah uses this word every so often. And Shlomo HaMelech was obviously the one to invent it. He was a real drama king, right? There's something called the drama queen. So there's a drama king. He was the king, the Hakoheles.
But it doesn't change the meaning.
It doesn't change the meaning, but
even the Chassidic Kehillos, they say both.
Some Chassidic they hold that it should be, they hold Bedavket Zecher. There's some very very strong rayos that it's all that it's, yeah, it's Zecher. The strongest ray that it's Zecher is the Aleppo Codex. There appears to be eyewitness testimony that in the Aleppo Codex it said the word Zecher.
How many years ago?
Zecher. Aleppo Codex 48. And it went missing in the year in 48, right after the state was established. It went missing. It could be one day they'll find it still.
Was it 48? 1948. Oh.
In 1948, there was a riot. There was a riot in Aleppo, Syria.
Yeah.
There was a riot, and the Muslims, the Syrians, they broke into the shul where it was stored.
Yeah.
It was a shul. It was a Beis HaKnesses, and they torched it. They burnt it.
Uh-huh.
And the Aleppo Codex was in a safe, and they immediately came. I think even the Shin Bet. There's a lot of history to rescue it. And when they rescued it, it was already vandalized, and part of it was missing. The Chamishei Chumshei Torah was missing, and Megillas Esther, two most important things that we need, were missing. Chamishei Chumshei Torah, and it was believed until recent times that it was burnt. Is that there was a fire and they burned down the shul, so it was burnt. Recently, they've done forensic testing, and the ash that they thought was the Aleppo Codex is not the Aleppo Codex, and now they have very strong evidence that it was never burnt. It was just snatched by some people grabbed the various pages.
I think I know one.
Do you have one of the pages?
Yeah. The library. I know Syrian who told me that he was.
He was there.
Wow.
He was there when it happened.
Can I know who it is?
Okay, so there are books on this. There's a lot of intrigue. The CIA is involved, and the Shin Bet is involved, and the Russians are involved, and who knows, everyone is involved in this, and it's very intriguing, and they'll probably have a movie on about this one day if they don't already have one. There's a few books already on it. There's a lot of original, but what's so interesting is that it's yet to be returned. It won't be so far-fetched. One day you'll hear that it's been returned, and then it's going to be like Yehudim, because it's going to stay there in the Codex, either Zecher or Zecher. It's not going to prove anything because even though they'll say so, no, they'll say who says that this is the who says that this is the Rambam's the Sefer Torah, and a lot of everyone will always have an excuse. There'll always be an excuse. There'll always be an excuse. Also, this is the Megillas Esther. Megillas Esther is seemingly our Megillas Esther is a little bit different. There are a couple of shinuyim in our Megillas Esther that's not consistent with the Aleppo Codex. All right.
Only a few.
So let's see if we can do this. The Targum, we're out of time. Smach Bacher.
I don't have a Megillas Esther. The Dead Sea Scroll.
The Dead Sea Scroll. There's no Megillas Esther.
It was written by the Shamrin.
Yeah.
That was a secular.
Okay, we'll leave the Targum for tomorrow because there are some more things. So we'll stop here.